Greetings in Jesus' name. Good morning to each one of you. I've been blessed this morning. I really appreciated the song service and Brother Tim, your encouragement there to us. It goes along very well with what I have on my heart to share this morning. But if we could really catch a vision of the holiness of God, if we could really catch a vision of who God is and who we are, there would be absolutely not an inch of self-justification in our attitude towards God. And I think we do well to ponder on those attributes of God and His holiness and His awesomeness and who He is, and realize that that same God is an all-seeing God that sees everything that we do and understands the intents and the motives of our hearts better than we could ever understand them. If we meditate on those things and let those things permeate to our understanding, it'll make a big difference in the way we live. Could we kneel for prayer? Father, we want to thank you this morning for your love, as we sang in that beautiful song, a love that is past being able to express or describe, a love that is so infinite and great that even if all the skies were made into paper and every last stalk of plant matter in this world were made into a pen and every human being that's alive were made into a scribe, there would be no way that we could really describe or ascribe the greatness of your love to us. And Lord, we as human beings can't even grasp a little bit, even a small part of how great your love must be towards us. And we want to praise you for that. We want that to allow our lives to be motivated to a life of service for you. Father, I pray that there would be in none of us that self-justification, that we would live our lives ever only for our King. Help me, Father, in these next minutes, I would speak your words and get out of the way. Father, would you motivate us to a life of faithfulness and service for you? In Jesus' name, amen. I've given for a title to the message, It is Required That a Man Be Found Faithful. And I took that out of 1 Corinthians 4:2. It says, Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. And we want to look at that verse a little more later on. But for an opening passage, if you would turn to Luke chapter 18 and verse 8. It is required that a man be found faithful. Here in this passage in Luke chapter 18, Jesus gives the parable of the unjust judge and the widow and his encouragement to us to persevere in prayer and in supplication. And in verse 8, it says, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily, speaking of God's own elect, his own chosen ones, that cry night, day and night unto him, though he bear long with them. I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Now, I realize that I might be slightly taking this verse out of context at first glance, because I'm talking about faithfulness, but really I don't feel that I am. Faith will result in faithfulness. And so I believe that we could, without changing what Jesus was saying, ask the question, will Jesus find faithfulness on the earth when he comes back? You cannot have faithfulness without a true faith in Christ, as we want to look at here a little later. Will Jesus find us faithful? And I believe that there will be faithfulness, there will be faith on the earth when Jesus returns. If we look at the book of Revelation, it's clear that there will be a great number of people that will be faithful and that will be found in that state when Jesus returns. But the question that we ask this morning is, will I be a part of that faithfulness? Will I be a part of that faithfulness? Will you be a part of that? So for a little bit of a definition this morning, we'd like to define what faithfulness is, and we'd like to look at the faithfulness of God. We'd like to look at the requirement that stewards be found faithful. We'd like to look at the tragedy of unfaithfulness and then the rewards to the faithful, if time allows for all that. I'll probably have to try to keep moving along fairly rapidly. For a definition, what do you think of when you think of the word faithful? What comes to your mind? In my mind, I think of the word dependable. I think of the word committed. I think of loyal, steady, or steadfast. I think of someone that's trustworthy, someone you can depend on. You know that this brother is a faithful brother. This brother is not going to be over here today, then over there tomorrow. He's not going to be someone that's shaken. If he's given a responsibility or a task, he will use the utmost diligence to make sure that it happens to the best of his ability. We think of steady. We think of stable, as Brother Andrew shared the other Sunday. Stability goes along very much with faithfulness as well. Faithfulness, and I am I have very little skill in grammar, but if we look at that word faithful, I believe it comes from being full of faith. Being full of faith in someone or something. And that's what I want to focus on this morning. It is impossible to be faithful without having a heart and a life full of faith in someone. That someone is God. Could we say that faithfulness is the true action of having faith? We could also talk about obedience, but we're looking at faithfulness this morning. And though I realize that sometimes, especially in a marriage relationship or other close relationships, we are called to faithfulness in spite of the unfaithfulness of another human being. This morning we're talking about our faithfulness to God. And faithfulness is motivated by the trustworthiness and the faithfulness of the one to whom we are called to be faithful. And I just like for that to sink in on us. We are not called to put our faith and be faithful to some erring human being, though we are in relationships, but what we're focusing on this morning, we are called to be faithful to a trustworthy God. Another thing about faithfulness is that it requires love. It requires a commitment and a relationship with, as in the marriage covenant. You know, my wife and I, we courted for a number of months, and as we were in that courtship, our love and our trust in one another grew to the point where there was a commitment made on our wedding day to love each other for the rest of our lives. And that commitment, that love that we have requires a faithfulness one to another because of that love and commitment. Faithfulness is motivated also by the promise of a reward. And as we think of, we work throughout the week, and none of us, or I think very few of us at least, would be able to be at our job working there faithfully if there was no paycheck at the end of the week. But the promise of a paycheck calls for diligence and faithfulness on our part. The promise of reward. Faithfulness can also be motivated by the fear of the consequences of being unfaithful. You know, as in our health, I believe that I should exercise more. But unless I am convinced that if I do not get more exercise, I'm going to suffer some serious health problems later on, it's probably not going to happen. But the fear of the consequences of not being committed and disciplined in that will motivate me to begin exercising. We could talk about marriage. The consequences of unfaithfulness in marriage should motivate us to our utmost faithfulness to our spouses. We already talked about work, but the consequences of being lazy and not being disciplined in our work should motivate us to be diligent in our finances. But especially in our walk with God, as we'll look on a little bit later, the consequences of not being faithful should motivate us to faithfulness. So first of all, I would like to look at the faithfulness of God, and I almost decided to preach this whole message just on God's faithfulness. I believe that would be a beautiful way to spend the next minutes here. But we cannot talk about our faithfulness to God without first dwelling on how faithful He is. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 10 through 12 says, "And Thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of Thine hand. They shall perish, but Thou remainest, and they all shall wax old as doth a garment, and as a vesture shalt Thou fold them up, and they shall be changed. But Thou art the same, and Thy years shall not fail. So we can see God's faithfulness in creation. I love looking at the hills in front of our house and Green River Knob sitting right there. And I don't know, I've only been there for about 3 years now, but it's not changed. It changes during the seasons, but that mountain has stayed the same in essence. It's firm, it's steadfast. I don't know how many hundreds of years it stood there, but it has not changed. We see the four seasons come and go. Winter is here, and then spring begins to bud, and all the trees bloom forth, and the flowers come on the earth, and the grass starts growing, and it's a beautiful time. Then summer comes in with all of its beauty, with the garden growing, and the good things that we partake of in the summertime. And then fall comes with a beautiful change of leaves, and all nature prepares for a sleep, and winter comes again. It has continued that way ever since the creation. There has been four seasons, and God has promised that it will remain that way until He comes back again. It's a testimony of God's faithfulness. We think of time. Have you ever thought about it? That man has never been able to tamper with a seven-day week successfully. They've tried, but it's never worked. It's an ordinance that God set up at the creation. There will be 7 days in a week, 30 days in a month. There's 24 hours in a day. Man cannot tamper with it. Speaks of God's faithfulness. It cannot be changed. You think of the beauty and the order of nature. Nature does not, rarely ever, steps out of the set guidelines that God has set for it, except for human beings. But the rest of nature operates by the God-given instincts that He has placed within them. And it speaks of God's faithfulness to us if we will let it. We could talk about the beauty of the home and the way God has set that up, and for a husband and a wife to be faithful to one another, the beauty of that picture. And we will talk a little bit more about that and a little bit about the church as well. But the beauty and the order that God has placed in the church as well, it speaks of God's faithfulness. But you know, all of this that we have talked about, all of nature, it says in this verse, these verses that we just read, that they will perish. There's going to come a day when they will wax old, like an old piece of clothing that we have, and God will fold them up and set them away. But in spite of all of that, God does not change. He's an eternal God. From eternity past, before this world ever existed, until eternity future, when all of the consummation of the ages will have happened, God will still be the same God that He's always been. He never changes. God will remain the same. I'd just like to read a few more verses, and especially those of you who may struggle with an overly sensitive conscience or who doubt God's love for you. This part of the message is especially for you. It's for all of us, but especially for any of you who have struggled with accepting and believing God's great love and faithfulness to you. I just want this to sink into your heart. Listen to these following verses. 1 Corinthians 1, 8 through 9. This is speaking about Jesus Christ. It says, "Who shall also confirm you unto the end, that ye may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord." Can you get a hold of that? We will be confirmed unto the end, blameless in the day of Jesus Christ. Not because of, though we need to be faithful, not necessarily because of that faithfulness or because of this or that, but because God is faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of His Son. God is faithful. 1 Corinthians 10, 13, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation provide a way of escape, that ye may be able to bear it." God is faithful to us in temptation. There is no excuse, Brother Tim, for falling or for failure in our life, because God is faithful in those times. God is faithful. He will give us the way of escape. 1 Thessalonians 5, 23 and 24, "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is He that calleth you, who will also do it." God is faithful to preserve us blameless at His coming. So you don't need to fear. whether you'll somehow, if you have a sincere heart towards God, if you'll somehow miss it, and somehow there will be some kind of little something that you miss and the day of Christ comes and you won't be found worthy. A heart that is sincere towards Christ, it says here very plainly, God will preserve you blameless at that day. When that day comes, there will be nothing to blame you for. Faithful is He that calleth you, who will also do it. 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 3. But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. God will also help us. God will keep us from evil. Hebrews 10:23. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised. It's a promise you can bank on. You don't have to worry that that check is going to be bad, that there's going to be insufficient funds there for you. Hold fast that profession of your faith. Be confident, be firm, be steadfast, because God is faithful. Not because you are able, not because you go to a strong church, not because of this or because of that, but because God is faithful. We can hold fast the profession of our faith. God is faithful. And I don't know, probably all of us here could stand up and give testimony of the faithfulness of God in our own lives. And As I've reflected back over my life, I see so many ways that God has been faithful to me. Situations that I was in that, humanly speaking, I should have failed. I should not be here this morning. I should be a failure. I should have suffered defeat in these situations. But God was faithful and kept me through those times of temptation. God was faithful to me in times where there was incredibly discouraging circumstances that could have and should have taken me under, but God was faithful. And many more of you could probably give even more moving stories of how God has been faithful to you in the face of difficulty and loss and grief. God is faithful. 1 John says that He remains faithful even when we are unfaithful to Him. God remains faithful. He does not change. We don't need to fear our present state. We don't need to fear whatever we may face in the future, because we have a faithful Father in heaven that does not change. We have a faithful Father in heaven that will not change depending on who's in the White House or what Putin is doing to Ukraine or whatever new things the world and evil men may come up with. That does not change who we have as a heavenly Father that's in heaven. We can have a steadfast and sure hope no matter what we may face. And so with God being so faithful, trustworthy, and steadfast, put our hope in Him, what action does that call from us? What kind of a response should that demand of us? It is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. God has given us everything that we need to live a godly, fruitful, productive, and victorious life. Everything that we need for that is given to us in this Word. He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die for us, to give us that entrance into being His sons and heirs of His grace. And besides all of that in the spiritual realm, how many things has God given to us in the physical realm? How many of us have ever went to bed because there was no food in the house? How many of us have ever wondered what we're going to wear the next day because we didn't have anything? How many, we could go on and on. The tremendous things that God has faithfully provided for us day by day, month by month, year by year. He's crowned the earth with goodness and given us so many rich blessings. But are we faithful back to Him again? Do we reciprocate that love and faithfulness back to God in the same way that He gives it to us? And the Scripture teaches us clearly, I cannot get into all the Scriptures, but that we are stewards of what God has given to us. And a steward will give an account to Him which has entrusted him with that stewardship. And that is why it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. God will hold us accountable for how we have used the things that He has entrusted to our care. Are we being faithful? We need faithfulness in a world where so many are turning their backs on God, denying even His existence, and living contrary and against the laws that He has placed in the universe. And those things affect us, brothers and sisters. We are affected by what the world is saying around us. It tends to affect us. But God is calling us to faithfulness in that environment. Will we be faithful to God when it is unpopular with the world? Jesus said that those that are ashamed of Him, He will be ashamed of them. Are we willing to stand up for Christ and be faithful to Him when it is extremely unpopular? Most of you of us know, especially if you have been given any type of responsibility in life over other people, you know the inconvenience and the frustration that it is when you have someone that is unfaithful at the job. You send them to do something, you check on them 15 minutes later, and they're over here doing that. And then you tell them to do this in a certain way, and you check on them later, and it's only done half as good as what you told them to. It's frustrating. It hinders production. It slows down efficiency. Proverbs says it's like a broken tooth and a foot out of joint. It's a pain when someone is unfaithful at their work. But God has given us a responsibility in this life to show His glory, to live a holy and godly life, to win others to Him. We could go on down the list. I don't believe I need to do that this morning, but we have been given a calling in this life. And are we going to be like a broken tooth and a foot out of joint to our God who has given us richly so many things? Are we showing the world God's glory and faithfulness? Scriptures are clear that only those who are faithful will enter heaven. Heaven is for the faithful. So how does God feel about me? You know, so many times in this, we have our sights set on the big things. We think about the faithfulness when it comes to confessing Jesus before judges when we might be put to death. We think of being faithful in that sense. We think of being faithful if somebody asks me if you're a Christian. We should be faithful and say, yes, I'm a Christian. And we could go on down the list of the things that we think of as big things that we know we should be faithful in, right? Brother Rich had a Friday morning prayer devotional on this the other day. But you know, Jesus said that faithfulness in the big things comes from faithfulness in the small things. You cannot have one without the other. A life of faithfulness in the big picture is made up of many small decisions of faithfulness in ordinary daily life. It doesn't just happen that you all of a sudden come and you're just waltzing along, just doing however you want to do, and all of a sudden get faced with a stand like Daniel and his three friends were faced with, and just all of a sudden you can make the right decisions. It doesn't work that way. There's a life of faithfulness that has to lead up to that day when it's your turn to stand for Christ. Small decisions of life. Are we being faithful in those small decisions? Jesus said those who are faithful in that which is least are faithful in that which is much. If you're looking to hire someone for a manager's position, you generally don't hire the rookie on the job that you just hired. You want to give some time. Is this person going to pay attention to detail? Is this person going to be faithful in the little things that we give him to do? That will be the qualification for whether or not he's able to take the manager's position. And it's that way in our Christian lives. So many times God would entrust us with greater blessings, but we're not faithful enough to handle them. And so we get passed by. Are we being faithful in the small details of our Christian life? Your brother Abner shared on Little Foxes last Sunday. Are we being faithful in those areas? It matters. It makes a difference in the big picture faithfulness in our lives if we are faithful in the small areas. I believe this also can be an encouragement to some of you here this morning that may feel like your sphere and what's available for you to do is so minute and insignificant. Faithfulness in those small areas means something to God. And though not another person on planet Earth notices what you're doing, God notices. And you will be rewarded for that. Your faithfulness in those small little details is preparing you for either faithfulness in great things or, if nothing else, then a reward in heaven someday for your faithfulness. Be faithful in the small things. It may be giving glasses of cold water to little ones. It may be playing with them on the floor. It may be changing dirty diapers or washing dishes or writing a little note of encouragement that no one else will ever find. Whatever it may be, faithfulness in those small areas matters to God. So don't despise the little areas. Are we being faithful in our personal life, in our devotional life? How faithful are we being, brothers and sisters? I know life presses in on us, and I know that there's late nights sometimes, and we deal with physical limitations and weakness in our body, but are we being faithful in our devotional life with God? Are we being faithful? Are we being faithful in our Christian testimony? It matters. People notice. We are God's representatives on earth. They will not get any other representation besides us. Are we being faithful in what we're representing on our lives and in our lives? We are being watched, and we are as a spectacle to the world. They are watching our lives, and there's power in a faithful testimony. Will we win the world by our faithful testimony, or will they receive a thwarted picture of Christ and Christianity by seeing my life? Are we being faithful in our driving habits? Are we being faithful in our lifestyle and our standard of living? Through the Christian principles of being pilgrims and strangers, are we being faithful to that, brothers and sisters? Are we being faithful to the Christian principles of modesty and separation from the world and what we dress in our speech, and in our whole spirit and attitude? You know, there is I'm not even sure if I can put it into words, but there is a spirit that you can sense from someone. It's not always readily apparent, but oftentimes you can tell what kind of spirit someone is when you come around them. Are we being faithful in our spirit? Are we faithful in personal life? Are we faithful in moral purity, brothers and sisters? We're living in a sin-saturated world, and it pressures us. And there's that temptation, and there's those little baits the devil puts out for us. Are we being faithful in that? Are we being faithful in family life? Fathers, are we being faithful husbands to our wives? Not just in the moral sense, but are we loving our wives as Christ would have us love them? Are we caring for them as we are called to care for them? The calling that we have is as great as the love that Christ had for the church in giving himself for her. That's the picture we are called to emulate in relating with our wives. Are we being faithful in that, brothers? I feel needy in this area. Are we washing her with the water of the Word? Are we bringing the Word of God into our home and in family life and letting it have its purging effect on the atmosphere of our home? Our wives have been entrusted into our care, and their well-being hinges much on us as men. Are we being faithful? We are responsible for their spiritual well-being. Are we being faithful with our children to give guidance and discipline and discipleship to our children as we are called to as men? Are we being faithful in those areas? Are we setting safe parameters for our children, commanding our houses after us in the way of holiness and safety? Or are we letting happen what will happen and letting the devil and the world have at our children? Are we being watchful, loving, caring shepherds of our families? Are we being faithful, brothers? You know, God has entrusted souls into our care. Our children have been entrusted into our care. And if they are to make it spiritually, much of it hinges on our faithfulness as fathers. Right. Are we being faithful, brothers, in these areas? Or are we denying the trust that God has given to us? We will be held accountable someday. Eternal souls in our care, brothers. Are we being faithful? Our children's future depends on our faithfulness. And you know, this is a principle in all of life, that faithfulness is required because it's not easy. It's not just going to happen haphazardly, that everything will line up and you can be faithful. We're called to faithfulness because it's an uphill battle every day of life. It will not happen. It will require intentional effort on our parts to stand for what is right. Will we be faithful? You cannot go with the flow and be faithful. It will not happen. You will go against the flow. And God requires it of us. Being faithful is hard, is unpopular, and it's even risky at times. You may have to cross your child's will. You may have to be unpopular in the brotherhood. You may have to be extremely unpopular in the workplace or in society. But God requires us to be faithful as men. Are we faithful? Sisters, don't despise the small details of home life in which you are faithful each day. Don't despise them. They're not small things, really. They're big things. And your faithfulness in the daily grind is giving your children a powerful example of faithfulness to the Lord. Don't despise it. And the world as well. It's a rare thing in the world to have a sister that is joyful in her place, serving her husband and her children, and not discontent, and not always happen to be on the run going here and there, but a joyful keeper of the home. It's a powerful thing. It's a beautiful testimony. Don't despise that example that you have. Young people, are we being faithful in honoring our parents? We've been called to that. God has entrusted with you the responsibility of honoring your parents. Are you being faithful? Are you being faithful in setting an example for your younger siblings? Have you ever watched it before in a family where one sibling goes astray and then almost like dominoes the others follow? It doesn't have to happen that way. I praise the Lord. Sometimes it doesn't. But often it does. As the older children in the family, you have a tremendous possibility and responsibility in setting a godly example for your younger siblings to follow. Young people, would you qualify your dad for church leadership by your lifestyle and example? One of the requirements given for a church leader in 1 Timothy that is have faithful children. Would you qualify your dad? Something to think about. Though I realize that a lot of that responsibility is on the brother there, but I think it's a good challenge for us young people. Church life. Are we being faithful in church life? Are we loyal to our brotherhood? Do we love the brotherhood? Are we a faithful brother? You know, there's just something so beautiful and refreshing when you look at a brother's life that's just faithful. He's not changed. He's not a flash in the pan here, over there tomorrow, and up with today and down tomorrow, but just a faithful, steady brother. It's powerful. It just brings joy to our hearts to see that. Are we being a faithful brother in the brotherhood? And I don't just mean faithful in attendance, but I think that has something to do with it. And we were gone last Sunday. We weren't able to make it here Wednesday night. And I just felt it this morning. It's just, it does something to me to be a regular attendee here at church. It gives a sense of refreshment and a sense of belonging that we feel by being faithful in attendance at church. When you don't have that, I don't do well spiritually if I miss a few Sundays here. I just don't. Maybe I'm weak, but I think that there's a reason why we're exhorted in Hebrews to not forsake the assembling of ourselves together, but exhort one another daily. We need the fellowship with Christians, and we cannot get it if we're not here. We won't get it. We need to be faithful in our attendance. Are we someone that can be counted on in the brotherhood? Does the ministry and all the rest of the brothers know, here's someone you can count on? He's not going to be shaken by this or that, by these turmoils that may be happening here or there, by this wind of doctrine that comes along. This is going to be a faithful brother. You can count on it. The next year, he's going to grow in his life, and in one sense, he'll be changed because he's ever on an upward hill. But in many things, this brother is going to be the same next year as he is this year. There's not going to be change there. He's not going to have to try out this fad that comes along and then that fad that comes along and then changing this and changing that. He's going to be a steadfast brother. You can count on him. He's an example you can follow. Are we being faithful like that, brothers and sisters? Are we faithful to our brothers? Do we defend our brothers or do we cut them down behind their back? Both amongst each other and to society. Is our church known that they are faithful one to another? They will stick up for one another. And yes, we need to sometimes exhort and rebuke in love, and we need to help each other in those areas. Are we faithful in that as well? In rebuking and exhorting. I'm needy in these areas myself. I'm not up here preaching at you, but I want to call us all to faithfulness in our brotherhood. Are we faithful in the small areas that will not be seen? But you don't have to be super talented or gifted to be a faithful brother at church. It does not require some special gifting. It just requires faithfulness. And it's such a blessing. Are we faithful in our brotherhood agreements here at church? We as a brother, as you became a member at this church, you committed to upholding the brotherhood agreements of this church. Are we being faithful in that, brothers? Or are we willing to let those things slide? Are we faithful in the example we give to the other young people and to all of the church? Are we faithful in that? Are we faithful in our way, in our area of work? Do we have a servant mentality, or are we at the job just trying to get whatever we can get out of the job? Or do we have a servant mentality? Faithfulness in our work as to the Lord, working as though we're working for the Lord instead of Walter's Country Meats or wherever else you may work. Are we working as to the Lord to the best of our ability, giving everything we've got? Or do we just, are we faithful just when the boss is looking or just when it's going to get noticed and then we'll let it slide here or there? There is such a thing as being too perfection orientated, but brothers, if we were doing our job always as to Christ, as if it were for Him, what kind of a difference would that make in our workmanship? Are we faithful in the workplace? And in our testimony as we're in the workplace, are we faithful? Are we faithful in our spare time and recreation, if we ever have such things? It's all part of the big picture. You know, it doesn't work to just be faithful 5 days out of the week, 6 days out of the week, the 5 work days. And then on Sunday to be faithful, and then on Saturday you go splurge and have a good time and blow all the Christian principles of faithfulness. It doesn't work that way. That's not a faithful life. Faithfulness is always the same, no matter what is happening, no matter which day of the week it is, no matter who's watching, faithfulness will not change the principles. Are we faithful in recreation, brothers and sisters? I think we need to be careful in that, in our attitudes. And the activities that we do in our spare time and recreation, is it faithful with a Christian example? Are we faithful? Faithfulness never takes a break. It never goes on vacation for a day or a week. Faithfulness is faithful all the time, 24/7. Faithfulness does not change depending on who is looking or who is present. It is faithful, no matter how little or nothing I will receive in recompense for it. Faithfulness will do what is right, no matter what. Faithfulness operates on principle, not on how I feel. It does not operate if I had a bad night and I have a cold today, and so I can be unfaithful here. That's not faithfulness. It operates on the principle. This is what is right, and this is what I will do. No matter how hard it may be, no matter who is opposing me, I will do what is right in this situation. Are we operating on principle, brothers, or by feeling? We need to be careful. It's so easy to allow little things to change us and little excuses to come in, and we compromise in our faithfulness to the Lord and to the brotherhood. Are we faithful no matter what? The tragedy of unfaithfulness, briefly here. You know, all of us who are married know how devastating it would be if our partner were unfaithful to us. It would rock our world. And yes, there is redemption and we could forgive and we could move on and praise the Lord for all of that. Unfaithfulness in the marriage covenant is a terribly devastating thing. But how does God feel to be betrayed by those that He has given so much to them and entrusted so much to their care? The ones that He sent His own beloved Son to die for, and they betray Him, set Him on the back shelf and are ashamed of Him and start looking like the world and struggle with the temptation in those areas. How must God feel in his heart to see that in us? After all he has done for us, how does God feel about us? Are we being faithful to our God? And then how many souls have been turned astray by unfaithfulness? How many children have left the faith because dad puts on a good show on Sunday, but at home, it's a different story. How many people have justified sin because of someone else's unfaithfulness? A couple months ago, my wife and I went and did a business transaction. We were purchasing a goat from someone. And I had made the deal late as I was finishing up work. I wasn't able to go to the ATM and draw cash. So we got there, never met the person before. But my wife was along and in her modest dress and covering. And I don't know what he saw in me. But when it came time to pay, I told him I wasn't able to get cash. Would you take a check? And he said, well, I usually don't take a check, but I know where you come from. And I'll take your check. You know, I had to think, that man, because of the testimony and the faithfulness of the Mennonite people that he had been in contact with, their faithfulness to honest business deals and honesty in dealing in day-to-day life, that man, without ever having met me at all, was willing to trust me to take a check from me, that it would be a good check. But think about this. All it would have taken is one time, a Mennonite person cheating him, or doing some kind of business deal, and that man would probably forever have a skewed and a negative vision of conservative Christianity. All it takes is one time of unfaithfulness, and a soul may forever lose sight of the glory of God as he would have it to be seen. One moment of weakness, and we give in to the flesh, and it's over for someone because of our example. We've talked about this much lately, but you know, we have a lot of evangelistic efforts going on in the community. But I just like to harp on it again. If you're out there passing out tracts and door knocking on Saturday, and on Monday they see you speeding down the road at a reckless rate of speed in your truck, it's over with. You have absolutely done away with any good that God would do through your efforts on Saturday. It's over. Faithfulness in day-to-day life. Ezekiel 22, verse 29 and 30. I'll read it to you. One of the most tragic verses in the Bible, I think. It says, the people of the land have used oppression and exercised robbery and have vexed the poor and needy. Yea, they have oppressed the stranger wrongfully. And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land that I should not destroy it. But I found none. I found none. And here God would have saved the land of Israel. He would have not destroyed them had he found one man, but there was not a single person to be found that was faithful and standing in the gap. Not a single person. And so the whole land was destroyed. What a tragedy. What a blight. But is it happening in our day too? That God is looking for someone to stand in the gap and in the hedge in a certain situation, and he's searching for someone, but we're being unfaithful, and he has to pass on by. And a soul enters eternity unprepared, and an example that God would have liked to have been set to this person has not been set. And a child that God would have had to have been brought up in a faithful Christian home goes into life with a negative view of Christianity because of dad and mom's unfaithfulness. And a brother in the church is suffering, and he needs an encouraging word, and he doesn't receive it because we're not being faithful. Are we available, brothers? Are we standing in the gap and in the hedge? Can God count on us? We are representatives of God to the world. We are bearing a testimony of our brotherhood in this community as well. And if everyone in the church were as faithful as I am, what would the state of the church be? We represent Christ to the world. We represent our brotherhood to other Christians as well. And I was in a place one time on the mission field where there was a number of different youth from different church groups there. And you know, I could not help, maybe I should have been more mature than this, I probably should have, but I could not help but that my perspective of the church that they came from was formed by their behavior on the mission field. And I was very disappointed. There was a church that I had come to respect very highly. And then I met some young people and they were showing a YouTube video that I could not appreciate. And I could not help it, but now my perception of that church is somewhat lowered because of that. Are we being faithful, brothers and sisters, and young people, in how we represent our brotherhood, and ultimately Christ? I think I'll skim over some of this here and go to the rewards of the faithful. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24 and verse 42. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the good men of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household, to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant, whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. Skip down to Matthew 25 and verse 21. And we all know the story here. It's the parable of the talents. One had been entrusted with 5 talents, one with 2, and one with 1. We know the story. But I want us to notice the words of Jesus, or the words of this master, to his faithful servants. His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Can you imagine what that would be like? To hear those words. Jesus comes back for his own. We all stand before that great and awesome throne of God, the terrible throne of God, and we see the glory of the Creator. And then he speaks to us and says, Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter in the joy I prepared for you. It would make whatever we may have to go through on life, whatever sacrifice, whatever suffering we may have to go through to be faithful, it would make all of that pale as nothing in the face of hearing those words. And what wouldn't we be willing to do in order to hear those words from God Himself on Judgment Day? Well done, good and faithful servant. I want to hear those words, and I want you to hear them as well someday. Romans 2 verse 7 says, To them who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. That's the rewards of faithfulness, eternal life. Patient continuance in well-doing. In closing here, turn to Revelation chapter 21. This is the ultimate reward to the faithful. This is what those who will live a faithful life to Christ have to look forward to. And I hope that because we've read it many times, I hope we're not immune to having it move us and having that hope kindle in our hearts. Please just try to picture this in your mind. Revelation chapter 21, we'll read verses 1 through 7. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Verse 7, he that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Skip down to chapter 22, verse 3. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads, and there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Verse 12, and behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. And finally, verse 14, blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into that city. Did you catch it? The beauty of God himself being with us. There's no tabernacle there. There's no church house. There's no Sunday morning service where we come together to worship God. We're with God all day long, all night long. There is no night. We're with God all the time. He's with us. If there's any, I don't understand what it all means, that he'll wipe away tears. But one thing I think it may be, if there's any sorrow left over from the earth, God just wipes it away, takes care of it. No, grief and pain and death and crying and the curse that we see around us are all things that are only here on earth. In heaven, all of that is removed. There's no more sin. There's no more temptation. There's no more doubt. There's no more wondering. It's all glory. God is with us. God puts his name in our forehead. He's there with us, leading us along, and we're worshiping God. And there's only peace and tranquility. There's never a worry. There's never a fear of what may happen in the future. It's bliss. And here we see darkness, both physical and spiritual. There's no sun, and there's no candle. There's no fluorescent light. There's no spotlight. God himself is the light. His glory is lighting everything. And we are there, the faithful are there, unafraid in the presence of that glory that's illuminating that transparent glass and all the beauties of that city. God is illuminating it, and the faithful are there, unafraid and rejoicing in his presence. That's the rewards of the faithful. Amen. I will close now with the words of Jesus to the church in Smyrna. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. There's a crown of life for those that will be faithful. Let's press forward. There is no cost that we will have to pay here on earth in being faithful to our God, but that will be greatly recompensed on that day of Jesus Christ. May God bless you all.